This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of glory, we praise you for your mercy that embraces us with hope through the work of Christ and for our adoption as your children through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And please be seated. This is a harsh gospel today, if you think about it. I'm a little freaked out because of all the things that we see on TV, etc. And, you know, we've seen beheadings, right? And it's like, it's pretty gross. So it just jumped out at me. We all know the gospel, but it's not a happy ending for John, right? So I want to talk about kind of reality and fairy tales and fairy tales and happy endings, right? When we're young, we grow up and we think, oh, my life is going to be kind of a fairy tale. And you know, later on we realize, you know, reality sets in. But it's the culture. It's like our culture brings in this idea that things can be wonderful and, as you know, happy endings play a significant role in a way, kind of helps shape us. And if you live on Facebook or any of those things, you know that a lot of stuff that's on social media, at least amongst like things like Facebook and that, it's a lot of happy pictures, you know, birthdays, weddings, you know, romantic getaways, that type of thing. That's the type you see. And we know in books and film, Disney will have some valleys, but then there's always great peaks and great endings and all that. We even look at folks like the British royals, and we see the lives of rich and famous and all those type of things, and we're enchanted kind of with those tales, especially when there's a young royal that gets married, and we saw it a couple years ago. We also like those tales of the underdog, how the underdog can win. And there's one right now, if you follow baseball, there's a young man, 22 years old, Pittsburgh Pirate of all people, right? Not a very mid to low team. My wife's a Pittsburgher, so she tells me, and then I read, and he's won six games. He's got a million strikeouts. And I happen to go to Pittsburgh a week ago, and we wanted to go to a Pirates game, and we went. And guess who was pitching? This Paul Skeens, I think I say his name right. And he struck out, I don't know, 11 people in seven innings. But then the Pirates, the offense, hit seven home runs. And it was 14-2. And we were sitting there in shock and disbelief. But we love that story, right? Because it's never going to happen again in my life. I said, I don't need to go to any more baseball games. 14-2 beat the Mets, the hated Mets, or I'm sorry if you're from New York. So, you know, anyhow, but real life, you know, real life rarely resembles fairy tales, and there's never a guarantee of happy ending, and the Bible is not much about fairy tales, or happy endings for that matter, and we see that today, right? In the sixth chapter of Mark, we hear this kind of terrible story about like the most horrendous royal family you can imagine. We hear about King Herod's second wife, his brother's wife, Queen Herodias, conniving, vengeful woman because John is, you know, upsetting her by saying she shouldn't be married to her brother-in-law. For us, it sounds like something off of daytime TV, right? And she ultimately connives her own young daughter, right, for the head of John the Baptist when she knows that her husband is probably drunk and saving face. I mean, he's just as bad as she is. And we hear this kind of horrible story about John and, you know, getting his head cut off. So King Herod would rather commit murder, right, than lose face in front of a bunch of people who looked up to him. So it's a tragic ending to his life. And Jesus said of him, we don't hear it today, but among those born of women, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist, who was his cousin. Again, no fairy tale ending in the Bible, even for God's chosen servants. So it's a foreshadowing of what's going to happen with Jesus, right? But we still cling to those images of that happy life, and we our culture is all about, you know, the bigger house, the bigger car, the bigger this, the bigger that, and we can live that way, and if you have, you know, it's kind of an empty pursuit of the bigger house, the bigger car, the bigger whatever vacation. But I, you know, as you get older, I'm kind of speaking to more, you know, maybe speaking to the younger people here, but, you know, the people across the street 10 years ago got married, nice couple, had a child pretty quickly, but she insisted on a Disney wedding. And so everything was Disney, Disney, Disney. They apparently, you know, we saw the pictures, right? We, you know, went down the road in a beautiful horse-drawn carriage, and, you know, it's all romantic and all that stuff. And you kind of know where I'm headed. You know, within 5 years, the fairy tale wedding became eh, and they got divorced and had to do the child custody plan and alimony and all that stuff. It kind of tears your heart apart, right? Because if you believe that stuff, it's just never going to be true, right? So life doesn't have to be a fairy tale, or less of a fairy tale, to disappoint us either. You know, everybody that walks in this door has a problem, right? Someone that's ill, someone that's died, a loss, a divorce, broken relationships, something distressing happening to your children or someone you love. And you can go the other way, right? You can get disillusioned and very bitter and curse God. But the good news today is that there are people who can teach us how to live a very different way and approach life differently. People whose lives look nothing like a fairy tale. People whose lives are not in any way conventional. But people who find deep joy and purpose in life. And we hear about it in Paul's reading today, the epistles. Instead of living according to some human script that we learned through our culture, we live with God's script. We follow God's purpose in calling in our lives. And now I'm kind of preaching to the choir, right? You can look around and see people who have gone through something horrendous, like a death of a spouse, and yet they have taken on this attitude, and they've taken on God, and they've read the scripture, and they, as hard as it is, right, because it's going to be hard, right, to go through a death or something terrible like that, they are uplifted, and they say, God is good, and I am going to continue to walk with God. Scripture reminds us, especially today, Paul describes in our epistle the glorious grace that God freely bestowed on us. This idea of free grace, we call grace upon grace. It's a gift. And we just have to receive it. And it takes might take a lifetime to get there, but once we receive it, we are reminded that God is just, it's like the sun normally in Florida, and today especially, is sun shines on everybody. It's that freeness of what God gives us. That same thing with grace. And Scripture reminds us no matter what trials or disappointments we suffer, does not compare to the inheritance that God has for us. And I think you know at this point, it's not just heaven when we die, it's right here. When we can make heaven for each other, right? We reach out to people. We're told to be outward bound and to serve others. And so when someone is down, we gather around and embrace, right? And then when we're down, hopefully the same thing happens, right? So I see that in this church, and I'm very happy, like I say, I'm very happy to be here. I feel blessed, right? And Paul talks about we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and we're marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Now, we hear those words in baptism, but we're marked. There's indelible mark on our forehead, but in our entire bodies, the Holy Spirit is with us if but we just open our minds, hearts, and spirit to God. And when our lives find those meanings and purposes, usually having to reach out to family, to friends, and those beyond, when we're in God's storyline, right, instead of these ones that we're brought up with somehow, we then live this life of faith. And faith is knowing that the sun is always going to come up tomorrow, right? Something my father used to say, no matter what, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. And it's a good lesson, but God's always going to be there, basically, the same idea. And we can start to live our lives differently. And sometimes we live a pretty good, faithful life, and we just have to be reminded. That's why we come to church, and we're with each other. I know what the Episcopal Church, I probably said it before, what it did for me coming from the Roman Church is that there's a lot more sense of community here. And I always felt like the Roman Church, you go, and I'd talk to a few people afterwards, and everybody's wanting to bolt, right? Now, that may not be true now, but that's kind of how I grew up. But when I came into the Episcopal Church at about age 45, I realized the sense of community was so important. And that's what drew me in, because I was still kind of hanging out at the back, barely getting involved. But as I was enveloped in with folks that were friendly, etc., it helped me then to do the same for others. Anyhow, we start to see our lives differently. We can throw away those old scripts, those false scripts, those storylines that's on, you know, all the stuff that you read and, you know, Facebook and all that type of stuff. And we can realize that our lives can find the deepest meaning and purpose in something much bigger and much greater than ourselves. And as we root ourselves, right, more deeply into God, into God's Word, we again begin to see that our lives have a potential to impact others with the love of God in a much deeper way than we ever imagined. So sit back and think of how your lives were at some point, and then think about how they are now. You know, are we better? Are we deeply rooted in God? Are we listening to God's Word? Are we taking it to heart? Is it going in, and is it then going out? Because you can't really keep it, right? You gotta send it back out. So yesterday when I was going through this, we realized that we're blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we're called and redeemed by God. And we've been given God's glorious grace to live our lives fully with meaning and purpose, imbued by our Creator. It's in us, and we just have to open up and let it out. So as I was doing, my wife always says, "So what's it about this weekend?" And I go, "Well, it's the beheading of John the Baptist. Not a fun, happy story." So she handed me this, and it's the opposite of what my neighbors experienced. Going through a divorce and all that. And I said, "I'm going to say this. Love is not just about romantic love. Love is a decision. And we all know it's a daily decision, right? It's a choice to remain together under all conditions, in poverty and wealth, while strong and weak, while healthy and sick. Love means to protect and enjoy each other without a break." That's hard. Right? We all know it. But love means making a commitment to keep going through life's difficulties and triumph. we have a God of love, and so we serve both our spouses and our each other here, our families, our friends, and our church family in this love. So this is the good news of today. Go and spread it. Amen.